Hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, if you've been with us the past few days, you know we have been studying Paul's instructions for Christian ministry as he outlined and gave under the inspiration of the Spirit to his young protege, Timothy, a fellow laborer with him in the gospel ministry, a young pastor. And Paul gave the charge in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, be ready to preach, right? Preach the word in season and out of season. Because all these dangerous times will come, he says. We've been studying that. We studied that yesterday, these dangerous seasons in the life of the church. And then he warns in verse 3 of the most damaging and destructive, dangerous season that arises. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. You hear what he says? Timothy, here's what you can expect. This is not a possibility. You will undoubtedly face a time in your ministry when they, who are the they? Those who listen, will not literally put up with, they will not bear, they will not tolerate, they will not listen to sound doctrine. They will have heard it. They will not like it. They will reject it. They will make it known. And with that kind of character that has a form of godliness and denies its power, they will wreak havoc in the church and leave. And we've had all sorts of dangerous epochs like this in the history of the church. Think of what's happened since the time of the Reformation. I mean, you had the dangerous time there of sacerdotalism and sacramentalism, where the Roman church people essentially were saved by the attachments to the church ordinances, saying masses, going through penance, going through priests, married, dead saints, to reach God instead of the only mediator that God has appointed, Jesus Christ. That's a dangerous season, my friends. Reformation happened, gospel was restored, confessional expositional preaching shook the world, truth was proclaimed, and soon rationalism spread over Europe. Man, free in himself now, right, would not believe things that could not be rationally proven. Human reason dictated truth. Thomas Jefferson, you know this, sat in the White House and made his own Bible, cutting out all the miracles and anything supernatural. Thus, today we have the Jefferson Bible. Only things that could be rationally proven. This was a close brother to liberalism that ravished the church in the 19th and 20th centuries. And, you know, I want to quote this today. This is his article on the downgrade controversy by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon is held out as a great today. Listen to what he said about the downgrade. Downgrade and the removal of truth. Listen to this. No lover of the gospel can conceal from himself the fact that the days are evil. Yet our solemn conviction is that things are much worse in many churches than they seem to be and are rapidly tending downward. What doctrine remains to be abandoned? What other truth is to be the object of contempt? A new religion has originated, which is no more Christianity than chalk is cheese. And this religion, being destitute of moral honesty, palms itself off as the old faith with slight improvements. And on this plea, usurps pulpits which were erected for gospel preaching. Boy, doesn't this just sound familiar today? The atonement is scouted, the inspiration of Scripture is derided, the Holy Ghost is degraded into an influence, the punishment of sins is turned into a fiction. Amazing. The resurrection into a myth, and yet these enemies of our faith expect us all to call them brethren and maintain a confederacy with them. That's just the cry today, right? Tolerance. Everyone has the truth. Everyone has his own version of the truth, how they individually see it. Nothing is objective. Everything's subjective, and the stuff is endless. All expecting everyone to call everyone Christian. We soon had the rise of, in this country, experientialism, where dreams and visions and miracles became a source of authority apart from the Word of God. And I see this on a common level. People who are enthralled with this stuff, they very rarely know their Bibles. I mean, they can't even engage you, really, because they're so caught up in other things outside of the Word, and the Word is cast down. So we're in the midst of a horrible, dangerous time when evangelical Christianity today has been stripped of its doctrinal content. And now the church has done everything to market itself, we considered, to make itself relevant in a postmodern world. I think I'm being exaggerative. Instead of clear doctrine, we've replaced the sermon with a chat from a bar stool, an embarrassment of anything that is churchy. We've stripped ourselves of the message and even the look as we buy up stadiums, shopping centers, and anything to make us relevant. We have ordained women to gospel pulpits contrary to the Word's explicit commands against it, just to be politically correct. We allow all sorts of manner of sins to be practiced in the life of the church without repentance, to be tolerant. Biblical inerrancy is lost, truth is cast down, basic Bible knowledge is non-existent, and people are ignorant to God's design for what Christ-centered preaching should be. My friends, this is not a time to be silent. Think about Luther standing alone. In his day, knowing he could be burned at the stake. And yet we have a whole bunch of people tolerant of this. Who's fighting for truth? We chalk it up all as Christianity. And then divisive if anyone takes any sort of stand. Paul says, they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will want to hear only what's nice and doesn't convict, doesn't confront, doesn't call to change. And they today can tailor their pastor and find one who says what they want him to say. Paul saying, Timothy, to the church, I forcefully charge you, don't back away. Keep on preaching. And in your preaching, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Show them their error, convict them to repent, exhort them in Christ with all longsuffering because of these dangerous seasons that are ever before you. In dangerous times, my friends, that's a tough charge. Now, that's the first major reason, is because of this dangerous season. We got to keep who we are because of this dangerous season where people are turning their ears from the truth, where people are caving into and not enduring sound doctrine. Paul says, keep on with the charge, but because now of this constant tendency to deception. That's the second thing he outlines here. Notice what he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Okay, so they'll heap up all these teachers that say what they only want them to say. And here it is, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Hear it? You got to keep on preaching because they will turn away and listen to something else if you don't. That's closely connected with what he said back in verse 10 of chapter 3. Listen to this account. But you've carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, persecutions, perseverance, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Essentially, what he was saying is, Timothy, you're carrying the baton forward. You come from a line of pastors who've been there, and you've learned from me. What happened to Paul in Antioch, the great Paul? Well, the Jews, this is what we read, contradicted and blasphemed the things spoken by Paul. What happened in Iconium? A violent attempt was made by both Jews and Gentiles with their rulers to abuse and stone him. And what happened at Lystra? This is a quote from Acts. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city. They supposed him to be dead. Look, let me ask the question. This is such a fair question today. When you read, and Paul's going to say, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's not an if. If you're going to live rightly and stand for truth, you're going to suffer. Why that kind of anger? Why was he stoned? Why was he blasphemed? Why was he beaten? Why was he struck? Well, let me say this. It wasn't because he was giving a fireside chat from a bar stool. It wasn't because he was on a treadmill because it's Olympic time trying to make things relevant to the culture. He was reproving, he was rebuking, he was exhorting people to repent and to believe in Jesus for life, and people wanted to kill him for it. Which, of course, was essentially a message of only of hope, and they hated him. Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed. You know, it's true. Persecution has often strengthened the church. We are today, you know, we face no sort of challenge to our faith. Anyone can hold anything that we want. You know, we have that kind of freedom today. But I'll tell you, God does not allow us to have that kind of freedom. And so when a pastor stands up and confronts truth, persecution, affliction, Paul says, is the reality. Timothy, that's what you got to gear up for. If you're doing it right, you can expect this. Recently, a pastor asked me, he said, you know, if you're preaching the truth, you can't, there's no way you could be in a church without opposition. It's true. If a man is faithfully preaching, there will be opposition in his church. That's what Paul's telling us here. And the message is, do not be ashamed. You're carrying forward a warfare that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That is the charge. Continue. Don't be ashamed. You have the words of life. Souls are being delivered from death and hell. So preach. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching so that souls would come to know the truth and be saved from death.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace. With our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden, we come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.